Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Good morning. When I first read this gospel, the whole tone of it seemed off to me, and off in quite a radical way. It appears that Jesus is rather perturbed, both at the father of the young boy in the story, but also at his disciples. It seems as though he speaks and cries out in frustration and says to them, "O faithless generation, who can endure you? How long do I have to be among you?" We are left, I think, to surmise that the disciples had earlier tried to perform this kind of miracle on their own as a kind of pious vanity, saying to themselves, perhaps, "We are part of Jesus' inner circle, and association with him has cost us considerable effort and also rebuke and ridicule. We ought to be able to show everyone that something of his holiness and his power has rubbed off on all of us. After all, we are disciples, and discipleship ought to mean eventually becoming as good as your master, no? If we're just going to remain plain disciples, and if we are to refer every person back to Jesus, what's really the point?" I think our Lord tried to steer them away from this attitude very early on in the gospel. If you remember, he sends out the 70 to begin preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And they come back to our Lord rejoicing. And the first thing they tell him is that the demons are subject to them. And he warns them at that moment, "Do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rather rejoice that your name should be written in the book of life. Have no conceit about what is being accomplished." What is more disturbing, though, in this gospel is that the disciples had no recourse at all to Jesus in this case. Apparently, they deliberately isolated the problem from Jesus, even realizing that they had no power to heal this young boy, that all of their efforts had failed. And when they finally get around to going to Jesus and telling him that they weren't able to heal the boy and ask him why that was so, Jesus pointedly tells them, and so tells us, "It is because of the scantiness of your faith. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains." The problem is that we so often put that faith in ourselves, but not in him. We put that faith in ourselves and not in him. There's a little directive that he gives to his disciples here and also in the Gospel of Mark. It's the path to strengthening their faith. He tells them that such demons are only overcome by much prayer and fasting. There are certain afflictions so deeply rooted in us as human beings that so have us in their grasp that they are only overcome by prayer and fasting, by giving ourselves over radically to God in mind and body, that we would feel through our fasting, just as we fast throughout this Dormition fast, that we would feel in that hunger of body our hunger and our desire for what Christ alone can satisfy within our hearts. And during this time of fast, we deepen our prayer so that in mind and body, we seek to unite ourselves in every way to Christ our Savior. It is then that that faith the size of a mustard seed can accomplish anything, even overcome the demons that have perhaps had us in their grip for decades. You remember the story at the Pool of Siloam, where a man had been afflicted for 38 years, and every day he tried to crawl into the waters that stirred there for their therapeutic use, And every day he was pushed out of the way by somebody who was a little bit stronger. And so he had to crawl back to his place. And our Lord comes upon him. And he asks him what almost seems to be a callous question. He asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" There are some of us that have been afflicted, perhaps for 38 years or longer, with things in our life that have crushed us down. And he puts the same question to all of us today as we come forward before this holy altar. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to become one with the living and true God? Let us pray today that he would give us that faith the size of a mustard seed. Glory to Jesus Christ.